Thank you. And extra thank you to Agatha, who opened up our Zoom room and invited everyone in. I'm away, as I mentioned. I'm in the woods, some wooded area near Blue Cliff Monastery, where I was attending the BIPOC retreat, weekend retreat. Yes, I think I shared earlier I was feeling very full from being in the community. What about the 70 BIPOC friends who came for the retreat at the monastery? And I'm still nearby, so I won't be returning to Baltimore until late Monday. And so Agatha was very kind in having the spaciousness to share the screen and open the Zoom room, because I my internet connection, as I shared, is kind of spotty. So what I wanted to share about today was just how we are taking care of ourselves. So the title of this talk could be Taking Care of Strong Emotions. It's depending on how we talk about it. It can also be practicing true love, practicing care, self-care. And for me, it's our practices, it's our freedom path, it's our liberation path. This way to get to know who we are and then to take good care of it. And we've talked about this in our Sangha, in our community, many times. And we've maybe talked about different aspects, and I want to list out in some notes I have what we might call five steps. In Buddhism, there's a lot of there's the Four Noble Truths, there's the Noble Eightfold Path, there's the Three Doors of Liberation. So there's many lists, and sometimes they're adapted. I've seen this list, as I mentioned, in different formations, and I have, for me, there's 5 points, and I'd like to share them. And how do we really get free, right? How do we walk this path of liberation? What is it that we're doing when we say that? And these practices that we're doing, right? This the beautiful practice of metta, where we offer kindness for ourselves and then for those we are benefactors, those we care about, and then a neutral person, and then someone we have challenges with, and then sometimes for a region, or when we practice silent sitting like we did at the end. Why are we doing these things? Why are we walking mindfully? Why are we following our breath when we walk? Why do we move our bodies so that mindfully, so that we begin to unstick the things that are stuck in us, whether it's our own things over this lifetime, or it's previous lifetime, or it's ancestors, karma that's in us. And they all help us to get to a place where we're pausing, right? So the first step is pausing or stopping. So We are moving very quickly, as you know. One of the retreatants at this retreat this weekend said, "I've never moved so slow before. I really slowed down, and I don't feel abnormal." And we were joking back and forth that in the outside world, when we're not in these places like a retreat center or a practice center where everyone is slowing down, the person who's moving fast is the one that looks out of place. And so as we were standing there, someone was walking down the road at a very, you would say, a normal clip, but relative to the slowing down that had happened over the weekend, the person looked like they were moving really quickly. And so we were noticing that difference, that perception of they look like something's wrong because they're moving so fast. And then we quickly said, right. And when we leave here Sunday, this was yesterday, we're going to be just like that person moving very quickly. And if we slow down to pause, to stop, to look more deeply, we're the ones that are going to look like there's something wrong. We're out of place because everyone else is moving very quickly. So it's just a good reminder that pausing or stopping is done so infrequently in our world today that when we do it, we might seem out of place. It may seem like there's something wrong with us, like we're abnormal. And how much though we need to do just that. How much we need to step out of that quote normal way of being, of moving quickly, of quote multitasking, which is really the mind jumping from one thing to the other. It's not really doing two or three things simultaneously. It's actually very quickly jumping from one task to another task to another task. So it's moving very quickly. Right? It's not. I want to read a quote for you. This is from the Venerable Tang Hui, Tanghoi, who was the first meditation master in Vietnam. And he says, in the time it takes to snap your fingers, 960 recollections can take place in the mind. Right? I'll repeat that. In the time it takes to snap your fingers, 960 recollections can take place in the mind. So, we who multitask, and I think we've all in some way or form been invited into being that being our norm, we're just jumping around. And if the mind can have that many permutations in the snap of a finger, it makes good sense that we're able to multitask, right? And so this need to stop and pause and monotask, right? And I say that sort of with a smile on my face because I know some of us are in work situations where we're not allowed to monotask. In fact, what is required to be in there and be employed is to multitask. And so that's why this idea or this practice of pausing, slowing down, stopping is so not regular. It's so not normal. In fact, it can even result in us losing our jobs. And so this is really the situation we're in this 21st century, in these days is we are required to go fast, just to stay up, right? To stay up with what's needed, quote, what's needed. And so this practice of liberation is saying, excuse me, let's pause. We part of our path is pausing. In fact, it's the first step. So that's one. And so why do we pause? We pause, we stop so we can begin to recognize what is there. What is there in the mind? And the reason it's called, these steps can be called the practice of true love, or the practice of taking care of strong emotions, or even the practice of nourishing the good, or distinguishing what we want to keep and what we don't want to keep, what we want to transform, is because in stopping, we start to recognize exactly what is there right now. Is this something that I'm thinking about that I want to continue to think about? Right? Do I want to keep watering this seed? If it's a seed of sadness or anger or anxiety or impatience, is this a seed I want to water? Or if it's a seed of patience, if it's a seed of spaciousness, if it's a seed of compassion, a seed of joy, is this something I want to water? In order for us to know what it is that's there, we have to stop so we can see what exactly is going on in our mind. Because what happens in our mind is what results in everything else that we do. So we stop or pause so we can recognize, we can see. And then whatever it is that we see, whether it's something that we want to transform or something that, meaning we don't want to keep nourishing or watering so that it keeps growing, or it's something that we want to keep growing, meaning we want to water, whatever it is, the path of practice is to accept it. To accept it, to embrace it. Because this is why some people call this these five steps the path of true love. Because if it's something that we don't want to water, we still want to accept it. We want to embrace it. We want, if it's anger, we want to be able to say, okay, I see you. I see you, my anger. I see you're here, and I'm with you. I'm holding you, right? So we don't just accept and embrace the emotions, the feelings, or the thoughts that that quote are positive, meaning joy, the patience, the spaciousness, the compassion, the kindness. We want to accept and embrace all of it. And the reason that it's sometimes called this this path of true love is because we don't want to not love the parts of us that we're still in process of transforming. Because this is one of the reasons that we can't transform is because we push it away. Because we don't want to see it. We don't want to accept these parts of us that we feel maybe ashamed of. We feel that, oh, I thought I had already dealt with that. Oh, this reminds me of my mother. And I'm not my mother, so I know I don't have this. These kinds of ways that we judge ourselves, and we don't accept all of who we are. And so this path of love, this path of liberation, is one of accepting and embracing all of us, all the parts, and not pushing it away. Because if we push it away, we won't ever see what's there, right, in this house of ours. And then we won't know what is there to transform, and what is there to water and grow more, right? We've talked often about the seeds in our consciousness, and what's there, and what we want to keep coming up to the surface and water and make them grow big, and what we want to notice and not water and transform so they don't grow big, they don't continue to grow bigger and bigger. So this third step, which is to accept them and embrace, I think in different places we may have heard, like a mother taking care of their child, holding them with warmth, and just taking care of them. I see you, I'm here, they're crying, I see you, I'm here for you, I'm holding you. And we want to do that with all the emotions, not just the ones we think are the good ones, the positive ones, the ones we want to grow. So that's the third step, right? The first was stopping, the second was recognizing and accepting. Excuse me, second one was recognizing what is there, what is here right now with me. And then the third was accepting and embracing. And then the fourth is where we look more deeply at it. It's some people may say it's an investigation. It's a looking more deeply, looking deeply to see what's under it, what are the roots of it. So we may get sad, and we want to know why are we sad. Or we might get angry and we want to know, well, why are we angry? Because in that looking more deeply to understand, that's where the transformation occurs. That deep, deep understanding that brings insight, right? But I'm jumping ahead to the fifth step because that's the insight and the transformation. So the fourth is looking deeply in order to see what are the roots of this emotion? What are the roots of this thought that came to my mind just now? I just saw somebody I hadn't seen for a while. When I saw them, I noticed I got really angry. Why? Why did we get angry? What's under that? Is it something to do with them for real, or is it something to do with maybe 20% of them, or even 10%, but 90 or 80% is really something else, something old that we have that we have deep in us that this person reminds us of. And that ability to notice the depth of why we think what we think, why we become sad or angry. This is really our path of liberation, because this is when we start to realize that we are more than this emotion. We're more than this thought. But when we're not aware, when we're not able to stop and recognize and embrace and look deeply, we tend to think that we are in that moment, that emotion. So we get really happy and we get all consumed by it. There's nothing else. And then when that period of happiness is gone, we're deflated. Because we, in that moment of happiness or those moments of happiness, we let ourselves get completely taken up with it. So you see, it's not just this path is not just looking at, as I said, the things that we want to cultivate more of. It's also looking at the things that we want to not grow or we want to transform. And we want to look deeply at the things that make us happy so we can know what else, what does make me happy? And so we can find those things and water those things and bring ourselves to places or people that makes those parts of us happy. So when we look deeply, it's also looking in the body, because having a body awareness really helps us in noticing what the roots of whatever emotion or thought is happening. As you know, with every thought, with every emotion, there is something happening in our body, right? Some people, they know their body in such a way that when they're sad, it shows up in their, maybe in their lungs or their heart or their spine. It may be a knot, it may be a cold feeling in a particular body part. It may be a stump in their stomach. When they're anxious, that shows up somewhere in their body as well. When they are happy, it shows up in their body. Often, though, when we have these emotions, especially strong emotions, we become that emotion, and we lose our insight. We lose our ability to see anything else that is happening. We are unable to be an observer in that moment of what is happening in our body and in our mind. And so this practice is this deep looking is what's invited to do to be able to see, I'm happy right now, or I'm sad right now, and looking more deep, and I wonder where this shows up in my body, and scanning the body, noticing the body in that moment. And the body doesn't lie, right? You know, the book, The Body Holds a Burden. And I cannot remember the author right now, apologies. Was one of those landmark books that started to really reveal how much the body holds everything that has happened to us in our lifetime and in previous lifetimes. But usually we're more concerned with this lifetime. So anything that we've experienced, it's somewhere stored in the body. And especially the difficulties, the challenging things that we might get triggered or activated when something similar happens, it that air in the body again takes up its, you might say, its formation, whatever that formation is. And this practice allows us to transform it. That's the insight. That's the fifth step, the insight or the transformation, right? Because when we see more clearly and we understand, then sometimes simply that simple awareness of it, that insight already starts to transform this thing that's been stuck a while. Sometimes it doesn't occur in that one moment. Sometimes it requires more deeper looking, maybe continuously over a period of time, going back to it, being gentle, looking again, like the mother holding this self with love and care, and taking care of that self, right? Maybe it was the self when the self was a child or a teen or a young adult or something like that, whatever it is that deep looking takes us to. So this whole process, these steps, this is the steps that these are the steps that help us to reach a place where we begin to really know, right? We really begin to know why we are the way we are and see what is there that we want to transform and what is there that we want to keep and nurture and make it more, right? So when we see the things that make us kinder, right? When we experience a moment of kindness, the looking deeply into that is also very important because now we see, this is what was happening in my mind when I felt this kindness where I want to offer something or I want to do a kind act for someone or I want to open the door. And these aren't huge things. These are small things like when we feel, oh, I want to hold the door for that person or, someone drops something and we go over and pick it up for them. These small random things that occur in our daily lives, This is our practice. This is engaged Buddhism. This is engaged mindfulness. Is every moment of our daily lives, are we able to notice what is it that we're doing? What is it that we're thinking? What emotion is it now in this body that is showing up? Now, we can't be in this, in these five steps every moment of the life, right? Because, you know, for one, just meant, you know, talking earlier about the work. Can you imagine being in a workplace where we can have the time to do this? No, right, exactly. I know it's funny even. Yeah, it's very rare that we have a job. Maybe if we worked at a retreat center, but I can tell you, even at retreat centers, where especially if you're working as you're staffing or for a retreat, you're still busy. You're running still because you're trying to get everybody their room and getting, you know, getting everything organized. So even in the spaces where we think there's more space and this is a place that to do this, the nature of the world has is moving. It has gotten to a place where it's moving so fast that it's very hard to practice like this every moment. And so how do we do it in everyday life, right? I mean, it's great to have, oh yeah, here's these five things to get me free. When am I going to do this? So you can take out time in your daily life, meaning, let's say that you say every morning for a half hour, I'm going to very, as I'm preparing my breakfast, I'm going to really try to practice with these five steps where I'm pausing, I'm recognizing what's going on in my mind when I open the, if you drink tea, when I open the tea, what came to my mind, noticing what emotion just came up. Notice what you're thinking, investigating that, and understanding it. And these aren't big, you know, these don't have to be big insights like, oh my gosh, that's why I'm this way. You know, that's great. We can have that too. But really this path of practice, this path of freedom, it happens in the every single moment of life, in the walk to the bus, to the car. In the taking a bath in the morning, in the getting ready for bed, in the preparing the meal. It's in those moments of these, what we call the mundane tasks of living in this world, that we are getting free, that we're practicing freedom, that we're practicing love and care for ourselves. Meaning we're being mindful in our whole day, right? We're practicing mindfulness because we're stopping and we're recognizing, we're remembering to stop. We're practicing focusing and looking deeply to understand why. And in that looking deeply and understanding why, we're transforming the thing that might have occurred. And just like that, over and over again, we walk this path, or we move in this path toward liberation, because we're valuing ourselves so much that we feel this is important to do. And it takes time because the mind's not now wandering on and some thing that someone said, and we're perseverating on it and we're building it up. And, you know, it could well be a negative thing. Someone said this, and then we cultivate it and it grows bigger and bigger. And so when you direct your mind and focus your mind in with this kind of intentionality, it's actually work, because we're not used to doing that. We're more used to letting the mind just run rampant, thinking things. And often the things we're thinking are not watering our positive seeds. Often they're perseverating on negative things, right? And we know that the mind has a bias toward staying negative, you know, There's much research that shows that the time that the mind will stay on a negative thought can be 3 to 4 times longer than on a positive thought. And so cultivating this mind of awareness, this mind of true love, actually requires us to shift the way that the mind actually has been regulated, is used to being and thinking and doing. And so that's why it's practice. That's why it's called a path of practice, because it requires training, it requires practice. So I want to take just the next 5 minutes before Dharma, we go into Dharma sharing, to invite you to do a little thought reflection exercise. So if you can simply sit quietly, close your eyes and do this, or you can sit quietly, close your eyes and bring the thought to mind. And if you prefer to journal or write something, you can do that. You can do that, or you can stay in reflection on this. So it's up to you. We'll just take about a minute if you want to get something to write with and some paper or journal, to write this down as we, and it won't be a long practice, just a few minutes. All right, so just for a moment, whether we're writing or staying with reflection, for a moment, let's all just close our eyes if that's available for you where you are, and let's just take a breath in and a breath out, and we'll do that again, following the breath in and out. And then in this mode of reflection, bring to mind an emotion that has been pretty persistent with you this, let's say, this last week, this past week, some emotion that has keeps coming up, whatever it is for you. Can be a positive emotion or a one that you might not want to be having. And then when you've thought of that, you can continue this exercise with your eyes closed in reflection, or you can open your eyes and write and journal. Because what I'm going to ask you to do now is to go through these steps. So we pause and we recognize the emotion, right? We named it. And now you can write this or think it. I invite accepting it. So we might have been having the emotion, we might have even been noticing it, but maybe we've been pushing it away. And maybe that's why it's been coming back again and again. And so I want you to either write this down or reflect on this. I accept this. I like a mother holding her child, I accept you, my emotion, whatever that emotion is. You are a part of me. I accept you. It doesn't make me bad or good. It's just another part of this whole being of who I am. I accept you, I embrace you. And so you can write that down. I accept and embrace whatever that emotion is. You're a part of me. And I want to care for you. And then the next step, which is how we care for this emotion. And so we're going to take just 30 seconds or a minute to just look a little bit more deeply as to why is it that this particular emotion or feeling have been coming up in this last week. What's the root of it? And maybe it's a deeper root than this time that we have. So maybe we just get into the taproot, the very first root, as to why this has been coming up. And remember, we embraced it. It's part of us. We're not judging. We're simply understanding now. We're looking deeply in order to know more, to understand better. Why does this keep coming up? And we'll just take another, maybe another minute or two to look at the roots of this particular emotion that's been coming up. Could be personal, it could be connected to someone, could be connected to anything, the world event. So we're looking deeply to know, to understand. And we're not judging, we're not punishing. And it could be a positive emotion. So even more, we want to understand why is this coming up? Because this is the understanding that helps us in the future to bring that back. To water that so we can make it grow more. And this deep looking, it's also, you know, if it's something, if it was a joy brought on by, let's say, an external event, the looking deeply is trying to understand what was watered in you that resulted in it growing, because we often may not have those external factors to bring about that joy again. And so, can we identify in ourselves what was it that brought about the joy so that we can find it in ourselves and water it in ourselves when those external factors aren't available? Maybe it's a memory of the thing that brought us joy, or what in us was blossoming, because then we can find other sources to make those things in us blossom again. Maybe it's a walk in the park, or it's a gardening, whatever it is might be. Maybe it's movement. Okay, we'll take another 30 seconds and then we'll. So the next step, which is the insight, it's sort of wrapped up in the deep looking, because as we're looking deeply, we get to see what is it that is making us have that emotion, whichever it is. And in that process of the insight, that's what brings the insight, is this deep looking brings this understanding and this kind of insight that allows us to know in a way that we didn't before, and sometimes in a way that we actually can't even put into words. That's That's the depth of the insight, is there's this knowing, this deep, true knowing. And oftentimes, sometimes we can call that transformation, because we're transforming something that previously, especially if it's a difficult emotion, we're transforming that difficult emotion by understanding the roots, and as they, you know, how they say, cut it off at the root. It's like that. It's we're understanding it so deeply at the root of it that it results in the transformation, and in that transformation, that insight leads to that transformation. And so the next time this thing happens or something similar happens, we won't be taken up with it, and we won't suffer like we did before. And so it's not to say that a negative thing or a difficult thing or a challenging thing may not happen again, but it's not going to lead us down this path of suffering like it used to. Because in this practice, we are learning how to notice it, how to accept it, how to not push it away so that it grows big, festers into something that takes us over and explodes, and we wonder what happened, because we're now fully aware and awake to the nature of it, the nature of the thing, and what is transpiring. Whether it's something that brings joy, whether it's something that is a challenge and brings us to a place of suffering. So, thank you. Thanks for sharing this practice. It's always nice to put it right into action so that we can just keep doing it, not only think about doing it. So hopefully this has been helpful. Thank you for listening, and I will invite a sound of the bell for us to let this all drop down. Let it just, like the rain, the Dharma rain, as we say, let it just flow through us, and not let us not grasp. Let's just let it move through us.